It's a really beautiful, striking exhibition. I understand it's the first comprehensive survey of his work.
It's the first comprehensive museum survey, and I would say it's the first museum retrospective since he died. He had a show at, well, actually ever, in fact, because during his lifetime in 1976, he had a show at the CUNY Graduate Center, and not even in a gallery, sort of, I gather it was a pedestrian mall kind of situation. So the work hasn't been given the kind of full dress respect it deserves.
And why is that?
I think for a lot of reasons. I think one of them is that he was a black artist painting in a complicated way that engaged both issues that were important to the black community and issues that were important to the white community. Never arrived at a single signature image. So, you know, you look at late Rothko, you know you're looking at a late Rothko. You look at late Newman, you know you're looking at late Newman. You look at late Lewis, you don't necessarily know you're looking at a late Lewis because you could be looking at a different late Lewis and it would look different. What I'm hoping is that we're in a time now where artists who work in diverse styles are acceptable. It's not viewed as confusion, it's viewed as broad-mindedness or something like that. And so I'm hoping that that will be helpful to Lewis. I think we're also in a time where we're re-looking at people who have been overlooked for various reasons, like racial prejudice being certainly one of them. But also his style itself is a gentle style in many ways, and I think the lesser known people of his generation, black and white, are being looked at again.
The exhibition's so interesting, and in the way it's organized as well, it's organized by subjects that informed his work or different interests he had. And I understand he was informed by music, by nature, by the city, by everything really around him. He was a very curious person. I'd love to talk about music for a second.
Well, you know, everybody wants black painters to be inspired by jazz, the music black artists invented. And he was inspired by jazz, but he was also inspired by classical music. He had an older brother who was a violinist, both classical and jazz. And Lewis himself in the 70s, when he could afford, in the 70s he was working steadily at the Art Students League, and so I think he probably had a more stable income. And in his archives there are a lot of brochures from concerts by black and white artists and all kinds of concerts. He played the piano. I don't know precisely what he played. I haven't come across any music. He had a big record collection. It was pretty broad in its range. So I think every kind of music, I mean, there are three paintings in the show called Jazz Musicians, but there's one painting called Cantata. So I think Norman Lewis was a vacuum cleaner in the sense that I think he was immensely intelligent and immensely curious. I think he listened to whatever music he could find to listen to, however he could find it to listen to. I mean, you know, he went with his brother to rent parties where his brother would play. So I think probably the music he heard most of was jazz.
It seems that his music was informed by the world around him, but also by the sense that art could be used to make a difference in people's lives and could play some social role.
Well, that's a complicated question, and one that needs a lot of study and thinking. He claimed always that at a certain point he came to believe that art was not going to change the minds of people about how society should be treated, that the people who needed to see the paintings probably wouldn't see them anyway, and that painting needed to have an aesthetic basis. So in that sense, he's philosophical about what art can do. He's philosophical in what he says. In terms of what he does, I mean, there is a section in the show called Civil Rights, and I think his American Totem, his Alabama, Journey to the End, and several that are untitled are, you know, Redneck Birth. I mean, these are tough social activist paintings. There's an early watercolor of a police beating. And the early 40s is about the moment when he started thinking this isn't what he wanted to do anymore. But I don't think it ever left him. I think he was who he was. And I think in his own highly personal way, he did do social activist paintings and he did romantic landscape paintings. And he did them the same year. That's what I find so amazing, is that the early 60s, the height of the civil rights, tough times in this country, he was doing what seemed to me to be as tough paintings as possible. He was involved in all the, well, when he was invited to the African exhibitions that featured art by African Americans, of which there were many in the 60s, he wasn't always invited, because just as the white community may not have been as welcoming to him as an artist because he was black, the black community wasn't as welcoming to him as an artist because he wasn't painting what they wanted him to paint in an obvious way. So there were many exhibitions featuring African-American artists in which Lewis did not participate. And it seems quite clear to me he wasn't invited or he would have participated.
Wow. With such variety in his body of work, there's nevertheless a theme, which I guess this exhibition takes its name from, the theme of procession.
I think the procession is one thing that goes through the work. What holds the work together for me, and it suits what he said about issues of aesthetic issues, are his amazing curiosity about artistic materials and what you can do with them. And, you know, how many ways can you use a pencil? How many ways can you inscribe a line into wet paint? And what's the difference between a line that just takes the paint off and a line that's drawn with a pencil? So that you have, you know, complicated pencil drawings and wet paint in one painting. For me, that's what goes through the work. And what absolutely ties the body of work together is if you look at how they're made. They aren't all made the same way, but they are all made with a kind of curiosity about the making of visual images on two-dimensional surfaces. And that's what ties it. The procession was for me the most common idea in the sense that there were the Labor Day and other processions in Harlem. I mean, in the 20s, the Garveyite processions, he would have been right there. The Labor Day processions that came later. He was very interested in Carnival in the 50s when he went to Europe, and then all the civil rights marches. And picketing. I mean, he was on picket lines. And I think that kind of procession also would have mattered a lot to him. I mean, he became engaged with union activities and labor activities early on. And he had a whole community that found their origins there, black and white. And he talks about that in the videotape. He talks about joining with white activists at various points in his life. And, you know, being engaged with anti-racism and anti-Semitism. His activist interests were broad, too. I mean, he was a man of the world. He was absolutely a man of the world.
What kind of recognition did he have during his lifetime, and how does this exhibition alter that?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, he was in 130 group shows during his lifetime. He won the popularity prize for, in 1955, the Carnegie International, one of the most important international shows. The public who went to the show voted his painting the one they loved the best. He was in the Venice Biennale. His work was in the collection of the Chicago Art Institute in 1953. So he was in major museum collections. So he was in a major gallery from the mid-40s to the mid-60s. He got very good reviews. The New the news reviews of his shows were generally positive. But on the other hand, when one review said he was in the Willard Gallery with Mark Toby, and the review said something like, well, there can only be one Mark Toby, and, you know, one could say, well, there can only be one Norman Lewis. Who knows which way the influence went? What I really wanted the exhibition to do was to make public the range of the work in a way that made it coherent. That the fact that there are lots of kinds of ideas, images, approaches over a period of almost 50 years, I didn't want that to get in the way of being coherent. He kept adding to what he was interested in.